There really is a sign here that says, please do not touch the microphone. So I will try not to do that. The reading of the Hebrew Bible lesson is, can you guys hear me? Okay. It's taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then following up with verse 10. It's found on page 811 in the Hebrew Bible and found on page 1054 in the large print Bible. And just a little background, this passage occurs immediately after Jonah has been expelled from the belly of the whale. And I need my reading glasses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. And now we're going to responsibly read Psalm 62. And that's found on page 787 in your hymnal. And it actually starts with verse 5. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God, who alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God, who is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. Power belongs to God. And to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you repay all according to their work.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. It can be found on page 160 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 207 if you're using the larger print edition. Paul writes, I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The choir is leading us. Let us all rise as we are able to hear the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. If you'd like to follow along, as I encourage you to do, turn in the back in the New Testament section of your Bible to page 33. There you will find Mark 1, verses 14 through 20. And in the large print edition, it's on page 42. We continue with the story of Jesus at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. Hear these words. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You probably already figured this out, but if you look at the cover of your bulletin, that's that first call as they were throwing their nets out and Jesus invited them. Well, today, my friends, is the final sermon in a series of three messages that started on January 11th. And let me take you just a moment to remind you of something you may or may not know. If you want to go back and listen to either of those first two sermons in the series, or for that matter, if you want to listen to any sermon that's been preached in this church over the last several years, you can go to our church website that's listed on the front of your bulletin. I owe my thanks to the considerable efforts of Mike Sumrall, because he has produced this website with these wonderful recordings, and those are available to anybody 24 hours a day. So, Mike, thank you very much. Also, I have printed copies every Sunday of the sermon available in case you would rather read it or if you want to take it home with you. So I offer you that. Also, then, thanks to Carolyn Mackus, and when she's not here, Esther Smith, and today, because Esther is sick, to Ken Smith, because they take printed copies of this and they send them out each week to our homebound friends. Finally, I'm eager to send you this electronic copy of my sermon. If you have an email address, I can do that too. So there are many opportunities to get a hold of this sermon. But back to today's message. As a way of reminder, last week I spoke about the basic plot of the Bible. And that is, God speaks, God calls, and God sends. Through your baptism, through Holy Communion, which we will celebrate next week, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, God has spoken in your life. God is calling you into a life of love and service, compassion and grace, salvation and eternal life. God is calling you because God loves you unconditionally and absolutely. Today I ask you to join me as we look into the Bible's mission, message of mission. That is the way that God sends us out into the world in the work of God's kingdom. God speaks, God calls, and God sends. Think back to last week's story of the boy Samuel. Hearing God calling him by name, Scripture tells us, now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Samuel did indeed tell the vision to Eli of all that God had told him. Scripture goes on, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. God spoke, God called, and God sent Samuel out into the world as a prophet of the Almighty. In a similar way, what we didn't hear today, but what is in the book of Jonah, I challenged our Bible study group. I asked them how many people read the entire book of Jonah, and they stood there looking at me, and I said, it's a page and a half long, but it's a good story. In the same way, God called and sent Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, as Holly told us, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. As you may remember this story, Jonah had to be called and sent twice. Because the first time, at the very beginning of the book, Jonah went in the absolute opposite direction from God's calling. And even then, it took Jonah surviving a tempest on the sea and spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a large fish before Jonah finally got the word when that whale spewed him out onto dry land. He finally understood that God was serious about this undertaking. In last week's reading, Jesus sought out and he called Philip and Nathanael with the simple command, "Follow me." This week in Mark, we read the gospel story of Jesus calling the fishermen Simon and Andrew and James and John. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. These men left everything behind. They left their boats, their livelihood, their families, their friends, their home, to follow this teacher from Nazareth. For the next 9 Sundays here at church, we will read about the travels, their travels with Jesus, and about what they saw and heard over those 3 years. As you may well know, I hope you know, after his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven at the end of his time on earth, he gave to his closest followers and also to you and me what we have come to know as the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Those who truly follow Christ must be absolutely focused and fully committed. So here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and the world is very different from the way it was in Jesus' time. However, much is the same for you and me. God is the same. And still God speaks, God calls, and God sends each one of us who profess to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us must play our part in this commission that Jesus commanded his first 12 apostles, going out into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. This mission is the assignment for every Christian person, and that means you and me. Each of us has a unique calling and a unique sending from God. Once you have understood the patience and attention and focus that are all necessary in order to hear God's call on your life, your calling is probably very different from my calling, but it is a calling nonetheless. Of that I am absolutely certain. God is calling you because God loves you absolutely and unconditionally. Now, if you're anything like me, your initial reaction might well be the same reaction as Moses or David or nearly any of the characters of the Bible when God called those persons by name. "Who, me, Lord? No, you must have the wrong person. I'm not the one you want to send." Maybe you run in the opposite direction when God calls you, just like Jonah did. I tell you, truthfully, though, I pray that you won't find yourself on the sand covered in whale vomit like Jonah was. Maybe you feel that you're too young to hear God's call, just like Samuel felt. Maybe you think that you're too old to take up God's command, like Abram or Sarai, that you're too old to be of any use to the Lord. Well, my friends, I'm here to tell you that these excuses will not fly. God speaks, God calls, and God sends each one of us into our role in the kingdom. Now, that may sound like a tall order, a daunting life task, and it is. But you don't do it alone. You have Jesus along with you every step of the way. Listen to these words of encouragement from Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge, is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. I'm going to hope that that cell phone gets turned off. Well, this past week, as you might have predicted, I came upon two quotes from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that I want to share with you. First, he said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." As Dr. King said, faith makes this journey with Christ possible. He also said this, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward." Good advice for every believer. Melba Taylor has often shared with me an important truth. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. If you are sincere in your commitment to God's call, you will be provided with everything you need to make it happen. But God also uses every skill, every ability you already possess in order that you may be of use to God's kingdom. Remember that Jesus first picked fishermen and He told them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." God knows what God is up to, and God knows what you are truly capable of doing. When you get a chance, you may be wondering about that big sheet that I included in the bulletin. Well, that is John Wesley's General Rules of the Methodist Church, written sometime probably in the mid-18th century. But I want you to take some time this week to take a read through that, because I believe that it's a good starting place from which to continue your walk with Christ. Wesley, I'm going to pull out a few things to call your attention to. Wesley called on each of us to find a desire to flee from the wrath to come and to be saved from their sins. Wesley went on to say, "It is therefore expected of all who continue therein that they should continue to evidence their desire of salvation. First, by doing no harm, by avoiding evil of every kind. Secondly, by doing good, by being in every kind merciful after their power as they have opportunity, doing good of every possible sort and as far as possible to all people. And thirdly, by attending upon all the ordinances of God." Now that may sound like old language, and it is, but he goes on to provide all sorts of examples of what he's talking about. These general rules will make a wonderful platform for your personal study and your commitment to Christ during Lent. And I will promise you that we'll come back to these general rules over the next several months. So you might tack them on your bulletin board or put them up on the refrigerator. Finally, my brothers and sisters, in closing, I ask you to listen to these words from our Savior, Jesus Christ. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." God speaks, God calls, and God sends. And that means you. Amen.